It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
NFL football available for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 7 after the Chris Lamb Show for Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay hosting Baltimore, one of the games of the week. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time to listen as well. And joining us right now as we begin to talk some college football from the weekend, voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. K-State, no doubt about it, right? Just like we all suspected. No worries out there in West Virginia, 45-18. Of course, that's not the case. Everybody had a lot of concern about that game and where it fell on the schedule. But just a really impressive performance. And Wyatt, of all the great things in that game, to me, I think the most important thing and the thing that stands out the most, and we wondered about this, Avery Johnson got hurt, dinged up, 2 weeks ago, and we wondered if he would be able to run as normal in this game. He didn't run the ball one time, but he threw it almost for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and I think showed everybody, hey, he's a passer as much as he's a runner.
You know, and honestly, if we're being 100% blunt, we've kind of said all along he can do both, and I think he's proving that he can do that. Was he a better runner at the beginning of the year than he was a thrower? Yeah, probably. But I think he's starting to catch up on a lot of fronts that way. And good to be on with you guys again. I was really proud of his effort because at the end of the day, they stacked the box, had five guys at the line of scrimmage and says, DJ Giddens will not beat us tonight. You are going to have to throw the football to win. And after a little bit, K-State said, okay, let's go do it. I thought it was a really hard game until Garrett Green was injured.
Yeah.
Certainly started to turn K-State's way in a big way after that. And you can kind of understand that. The guy's a really good run threat. They were doing a pretty decent job. But I think you could kind of tell from the get-go that this was a fragile team from a mindset for West Virginia, shaken by the loss at home last week, 2 weeks ago now, I guess, to Iowa State. And I think K-State just kind of wore out, actually. They played a ton of guys and really played pretty good football. Even in the second half when running was hard, you know, they were getting more in the second half than they did in the first. That's obvious.
Wyatt, going back to what you mentioned about DJ Giddens, and obviously that was the game plan for the Mountaineers defensively, was to stop the run, to shut down Giddens. I thought what was really impressive to me was not only did the Wildcats then need to pass the ball, but they were able to get Giddens involved in the pass game more. So it wasn't like DJ just took a back seat and didn't do anything. I mean, he and Johnson connected the 55-yard pass down to the West Virginia one at one point in the game. They got him involved in other ways too, which I thought was really important considering that, you know, he's obviously such a dynamic playmaker.
That's such a good point from my perspective because, you know, a good back that is having that kind of production and you don't have a lot of success early, you could get frustrated. But DJ, that's not him, right? It's not his makeup. It's not who he is. And I think he just kind of kept grinding and knowing that there's going to be some things out there for him, whether it be in the run game or the pass game. And there were, as I said a moment ago, the farther the game went on, you could see K-State was kind of starting to get some feel in the run game, and that helped him. But I've also said this for a long, long time. The guy really has remarkable hands and continues to just be stellar in the pass game. And I'm sitting here looking. They targeted him just two times and had the one catch. But that one catch was for 53. That was one of the bigger plays in the game, frankly.
A lot of big plays defensively. And I know the Green injury you mentioned had a lot to do with West Virginia slowing way down, but I do think the defense is finding a groove a little bit. I mean, I think it's the offense for K-State, and I think it's fair when you talk about K-State to start with the offense, but I do think the defense is showing signs of life and, you know, continuing to show us what they want to do, which is get after the passer and let teams throw it on them and not run it on them. But West Virginia ran the ball pretty well. And they still, you know, at the end of the day, I think they'd look at it and say, yeah, we feel good about that defensive performance.
I think you make another good point there, too. But I will add this, and I agree with what you said in that they ran the ball pretty well. But if you closely look at the numbers, they averaged 3.5 yards a carry. K-State's going to take that every single time, right? Now, Garrett Green averaged 8-1. Let's tell it like it is, right? I mean, there's a big difference there. But I thought, I mean, you look at C.J. Donaldson, averaged 2.8, Jaheim White, 2.6. You get the idea. They did a good job on their running backs. But Garrett was, and he's a handful for a lot of people. But I back to your point about the defense, I love the fact that they're playing so many guys. And it's not just that they're playing guys. Those guys are starting to be productive. I would throw out as an example in this particular game, Jack Fabris in his game. I thought Jack played one of his best football games as a Wildcat, and it really didn't have that much to do with the interception. It helps, but he did a lot of good things on the defensive side. But we're continuing to see Toby Osunsami and those types of guys, Ryan Davis, helping out. And one thing about this defense that I think has kind of somewhat flown under the radar, fellas, tell me what you think of this, is that the defensive front guys, I mean, you're getting good quality play out of Damian Eulalio right now and Uso, and even to a smaller degree maybe, but still good quality football out of Travis Bates, and then maybe a tiny bit out of Asher Tomaszewski. That's pretty good depth at that defensive tackle rotation spot.
You know, going into the season, Wyatt, we had a lot of conversations about what the Wildcats were going to do from a tight end perspective when you lose a guy like Ben Sinnott going to the draft. How is that production going to be replaced? Will they be able to get tight ends involved in the offense? And clearly on Saturday, Avery Johnson was able to do that with the touchdowns, not only to Will Ancio, but also Garrett Oakley. As you've seen this season progress, have you noticed that growth from these tight ends to be able to get more involved in the passing game?
And I love the question. The short answer, yes, and I'll get to that in a second. But a tip of the cap, even though I'm not wearing one, to Ben Sinnott. He got his first yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. But I'm so excited for him. He's such a great young guy, and I congratulate him. Now, with all of that said, let's put it into perspective this way. You look at the tight ends, and you saw Garrett Oakley get hurt early. You saw Braden Lofton get hurt after that. And yet, K-State has 8 receiving touchdowns from the tight ends this year, right? Oakley has 2, Lofton has 2, Swanson has 2, Ancio has 2. That's pretty good production, right? I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Tommy took the words out of my mouth, and it's apropos. We're talking about the Chiefs and the way they've redesigned this offense, and they run 3 and 4 tight ends out there, and teams don't have an answer for it. You know, I would imagine for K-State, we'll call it an embarrassment of riches. I think that's just they're fortunate to have a bunch of good ones. But, man, with a young quarterback who's making his way, to have that position be so shored up has to be a tremendous help for a young quarterback.
So true. And I think if you go back and look, and this probably from my mind defines the growth of Avery as much as anything, go back and look at the 2 catches in the end zone to the tight ends and the tight window and the tough play, and the ball is right on the money. If that doesn't satisfy you, go look at the long throw to Jay Jax early in the Jaden Jackson. It's like, you know, it's right there. I mean, I love the kid's work ethic, Avery Johnson, and just what he's doing. And in the same breath, it's like, I mean, I'm on cloud 9 when I come to work here every day. I'm not going to lie about that. But when I think about what lies ahead for him, including next year and beyond, how do you not get geeked up about that? I mean, he's an unbelievable talent and an unbelievable guy.
Wyatt, defensively, Marcus Siegel had a great game, of course, returned that interception for a touchdown. He added on 9 tackles, 2 of them were for loss. It really seemed like he was constantly involved defensively, had a couple of pass breakups as well. And this is a guy that I know that has really battled to try to get into this position this season, to be able to hold on to those interceptions and then, of course, be able to return one back. That's been a lot of fun also to watch as the season has gone on.
We weren't as late playing this game as the games prior on the road with the game in Provo and the game in Boulder. And I don't know if you heard this, but if you didn't, go back and listen to Marquise visiting with Stan and I in postgame, because I think it tells you everything you need to know about him. He's a very soft-spoken guy by nature, but he talked about last year having, you know, a few, whether that means two or three or four or five, I'm not totally sure. But, you know, he basically said, I got tired of being called Stone Hands. And he worked on it all last spring, all through the summer, into camp. And I'll just finish it off by saying this. If you want to get excited about how well a guy is playing, ask Chris Kleiman about Marquise Siegel. He just glows every time because he's usually in the right spot. He usually makes big plays. And he had absolutely one of his best football. I mean, Austin Romaine had 12 tackles in the game and Siegel had 9. I mean, that's a lot of work, good quality work. And I'm happy for Siegel. He's a neat young guy.
I am too. And I know K-State fans, well, they probably don't care, but boy, KU picked a good time to finally get it right, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
You got the Sunflower Showdown coming this week. They had easily their most complete game of offense against Houston on the weekend. And I know it's against Houston, but man, when you look at what they've dealt with this year and what they have been going through to get to that spot, it's a reminder that Jalen Daniels is still there. It's a reminder that they have really talented running backs. They have really talented receivers. And he does appear to be coming back, or at minimum, you know, finally meshing with his offensive coordinator. And now this becomes probably a little bit more of a test maybe than we would have thought 2 or 3 weeks ago in the Sunflower Showdown.
I agree with that on all fronts, to be honest with you. I didn't see all of the KU game. I'll watch that as I go throughout the week. But that looked more like the Daniels –
yes.
Of 2 years. Well, I guess not. Yeah. You do the math. But
yeah.
Back when he was playing his best football, that's kind of what it looked like. All along, I think if you're being honest about it, they've lost some hard games. And as it turns out, okay, I'll say that again. As it turns out, UNLV and Illinois are pretty darn good, fellas.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can look at some other games, I get that, but I do wonder if they're not starting to catch a little traction here. And with the running backs, I mean, Devin Neal's one of the best players in this league, period, end of story. Daniel's probably the same. You mentioned the veteran receivers. This team has 7 seniors starting on offense at last count and 8 on defense. So it's pretty decent. There's a reason they were picked where they were. Now, again, you can argue all day of why they're this or why they're not that. But I think you have to, Stan says this all the time, you have to gauge an opponent with what they are when they're playing at their optimum pace and level. And I think that's how you have to look at Kansas. They're certainly capable. 100% true.
There's one thing, Wyatt, that I've noticed over the last couple of weeks with Avery Johnson that I have been really impressed with. We, of course, everybody knows about all of his attributes and athleticism and everything that he brings to the table. That is well known and well documented. Over the last couple of weeks, I feel like his poise, if that's the right word, has continued to grow. Like he looks significantly more comfortable than he did at the very beginning of the season. The progressions are there. The pre-snap reads are there. Everything that he's doing from a poise perspective, the way he carries himself, doesn't let the moment get too big. All of those different things, I feel like it's rounding into form, and especially when you're getting into Sunflower Showdown week, it's a big week. You know, of course, the game is at home, and you're going to have, you know, thousands and thousands of people there to, you know, cheer on you beating your arch rival, all of that. It can be really easy to have the moment end up being too big for you. But I don't get the sense that that's Avery Johnson at all.
Tommy, did you say K-State's actually going to play a home game this week?
They are. They're back at home.
I can't tell you how excited I am for that after a month not being here. And the cool part is that through what we've been through to this point, you have 3 of your next 4 at home. The only exception to that is next week we go to Houston. But your point about Avery, I think there's a couple of things to probably say here. He has grown a lot this year, and you knew he would, through mistakes, through great play, probably everything in between. I'm sure you would mostly agree with that thought. One thing that I think probably should be mentioned here, because he and I've talked about him and his football knowledge and acumen and work ethic before, but one thing that I think really helps, every now and again, you know, I'll look back at a game or see it, you know, on the monitor, you know, while we're calling the game, and he's over there, and when he and Matt Wells are in conversation, you can just see a young man that is locked in. And I so appreciate that, because I think Matt Wells has really helped him settle in. He's done a lot of it too, without question, but I think coaching matters, man. And I think Matt Wells has done a really good job with him.
I think they've all done a good job. I can't wait for this game. I am so happy that we saw KU play the way that they did last weekend to get a really good Sunflower Showdown in it. K-State comes into this game, by the way, as a 10-point favorite, which is interesting at home. That's about right. I think a lot of people are going to think that's not enough, but you had to kind of watch KU last week. But I'll tell you, Wyatt, right now they've got the over-under, and I don't know how much you care or pay attention to this stuff, at 55 points. It feels like they're going to score a lot of points in this game collectively. And K-State's defense, as they look good against West Virginia, they're going to be really tested this week. And I think we could see a fireworks show this week in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think one of the intriguing matchup in this game to me is K-State's defensive front against KU's offensive line. And maybe vice versa too, right? I mean, KU's defensive front is probably a little bit better than perception, honestly. One thing that we didn't talk about with the victory at West Virginia, K-State played without their starting right tackle, Carver Willis, who I think will probably be back this week. So excited for Andrew Lane Gang to get his first career start, and I thought he did an admirable job, especially when you consider this. Think about this, fellas. He had played 10 snaps at tackle all year prior to Saturday night. Most of his work had been done at either the left or the right guard. So K-State is developing, and John Pastore did a nice job too. They're developing depth there. And prior to the West Virginia game, remember now, this is a team that was averaging about 240 rushing yards a game. I'm hoping they can get in the vicinity of that. I'm not going to kid you. If they do that, I like their chances.
It's coming. It's coming. So this is one of, obviously, the fun games of the year, and we wait for it every year. It's a 7 o'clock kick. It is in prime time. We got that news recently here too. So it'll be kind of up by itself on a national telecast, all eyes on it. What do you guys have special coming up? We know this has got to be a fun one for you guys each and every year on the network.
Well, here's the plan. Okay. I hope this comes to fruition, because the two players that I've requested to visit with this week, I think are both Kansas kids that have a lot of ties and can speak to this rivalry and what it is. One is Ty Bowman, who we didn't mention, had a terrific game last week against West Virginia, 3 catches, 27 yards. That doesn't sound like a lot, but one was a third down conversion. One was a fourth down conversion when the game was still relatively tight. He's also exceptional as a special teams guy. And then I'm going to also try to visit with Keenan Garber, who's from Lawrence Free State. He's been here a long time, started as a receiver. He's been a corner and, frankly, has developed into one of the best cover corners in our league. And, I think both of those guys can give us a real full idea of what it's like to play in this game. Because, you know what, if you're a Kansas kid, regardless of which side of the line you're on, you love this stuff, right?
Yep.
This is a game they all point to. Every time we go out to the Catbacker events, I hear people all the time, one of the first things they say to those players after, welcome, we're glad you're here, is, you're going to beat Kansas, right? It's been like that for 23 years, guys. It's just the way it works.
And it's been not a foregone conclusion recently, and that's what we love about it, is that you don't just write this one off. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be looking forward to the call this weekend, Wyatt. We know you guys will do an awesome job, and we appreciate these visits each week.
You're very kind, fellas. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. We'll get into KU's win maybe when we come back, and then we'll spend a lot of time on the Chiefs in the second hour, Tommy. But I thank you. Thank goodness KU finally gave us that. And maybe it's too little too late for a lot of things, but it's not too little too late for this game this week. And you know what the most important thing KU will do the rest of the way is. I mean, it's very clear. It's very obvious. It'll be the Sunflower Showdown game.
Yeah, they want to play spoiler really bad. I mean, basically Kansas State is, you know, right on the verge. Like, if they have one more loss, like, that's going to take them out of contention for the Big 12 title. Kansas would love to be the team to hand them that second conference loss. And so it's going to be a fiery week for sure. It always is. And I'm looking forward to talking more about it as the week goes on.
And it was almost K-State getting a lot of the cushion they needed in the Big 12. The rest of the it was so close to being such a perfect weekend for the Cats. But let's talk about the Sunflower Showdown. We'll talk about that as well. I want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Glad to be here with you. It's all Brockton Caster. Jad Chambers back in the chair. We'll be back. More Sports Daily coming your way.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.